Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, April the 10th. And I want to tell you about an idea that we're going to start today, and that is on Saturdays or Sundays, depending on my schedule, but definitely on the weekends, either Saturday or Sunday, we're going to do a show exclusively about history. And what we're going to do is we're going to look back at events that happened this week at some point in history. Now, I know that during our regular shows during the week, sometimes we will do On This Day in History, and that's something that we will continue to do. But on these shows on the weekends, and most of them are going to be on Saturdays, what we're going to try to do is look back at things that happened this week in history and things that impacted us directly or indirectly here in the United States. So we're going to try to do that and see how far we get with these shows. I think we'll have enough material to do one every weekend. So I hope you like the idea of our history shows starting today. Well, today we're going to look back at two big events that impacted our lives a great deal, and they both happened this week. The first one is 1945, and that's when President Roosevelt passed away, and Harry Truman, Vice President Harry Truman, became president. That was a pretty interesting time in the United States because nobody really knew who President Truman was. And, of course, everybody knew who President Roosevelt was. He was a giant, a political giant at the time. So it was one of those moments where a new guy walks in and nobody really knows who this guy is. It's like, you know, somebody takes over and, you know, nobody really knows who he is. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. And the other event that we're going to remember today is the breakup of the Beatles that happened on this weekend in 1970. So let's go back to 1945, April 12th, 1945. The country really did not know the extent that President Roosevelt was ill. He did not get a lot of coverage back then, of course. Things were different. The media was different. You didn't have the television coverage that you have now. You didn't have the press conferences and all that kind of stuff, or at least not to the extent. And because of the war, you know, the country was kind of caught up in the war. So, you know, thinking about President Roosevelt was not, or his health, I should say, was not a major point of conversation. But people inside Washington knew that President Roosevelt was not doing well. And in fact, they say that's the reason that they nominated Harry Truman, then Senator Harry Truman from Missouri, to be vice president, because most of the people in the Democrat Party, most of the political class in Washington did not think that President Roosevelt would survive a fourth term. The only reason he ran for the fourth term in 1944 was that we were in the middle of a war. And the argument was, you know, why make this change right now? We're in the middle of a war. And anyway, that's why he was reelected. What's interesting, though, is that if you look at the numbers, his reelection numbers in 1944, they were the worst ones he ever had. The popular vote in 1944 was 53-46. And most of the time in the previous three elections, he was, you know, around 60%. So a lot of people by 1944 either suspected that he was sick. I don't know, but he clearly, or maybe the country was just, you know, war, was tired of the war. That could also be a factor. But anyway, he was reelected. He won big on the Electoral College, as you would expect, because he carried most of the states. And he became president. He was reelected. He became president in January 1945. But, you know, everybody knew that he was ill, at least the people close to him. And on April 12, 1945, he passed away. He was down in Georgia. I guess he was resting down there. And there's a very interesting story about this, which I just find it fascinating. When the White House got the news that President Roosevelt had passed away, they obviously had to get, you know, Vice President Truman over to the White House. And he happened to be at the Senate or at the Capitol at that moment. So they sent a car to the Capitol. Mr. Vice President, you have to go to the White House. And, you know, they rushed him over to the White House. And as he walks in, he sees Mrs. Roosevelt. And, you know, Mrs. Roosevelt tells him, Harry, the president is dead. And, you know, he's kind of in a state of shock like everybody else was, I guess. And Harry Truman, being the gentleman that he was, looked at Mrs. Roosevelt and said, what can we do for you? And I think Mrs. Roosevelt, in what had to be one of the most amazing moments in her life, looked at him and said, no, Harry, what can we do for you? I think she kind of knew what he was walking into. But anyway, so he became president, Harry Truman. And there was obviously, you know, the country was stunned because, again, they really didn't know. People suspected because he didn't look that good, but there was nothing official. So here comes Harry Truman, a man who very few people knew. He becomes president, and in the first 6 months as president, he has to oversee the end of the European War and drop two atomic bombs in Japan to end that war in the Pacific. So he had probably the most consequential 6 months of any new president in American history. And, you know, I guess by the time fall and winter came around, you know, the people had accepted Harry Truman as their new president. But, you know, Harry Truman had a lot of difficulties because, you know, anytime you end the war, you're going to have some kind of an economic consequence after that. And he had a very tough time governing. He was elected or reelected, I guess, in 48 by just a small number. And he had a very tough presidency overall. But nobody knew who he was except, you know, the people in Washington who knew him as a senator. And here is all of a sudden, you wake up the morning of 12th April, 1945, President Roosevelt is in the White House. Everybody knew him. He had been there for 12 years. And, you know, by the evening, you're being told that this guy, Harry Truman, is now the president. It must have been quite a shock for the country. It must have been one of those moments when I think a lot of people in the country were saying, wow, what happened? But as I said, Harry Truman acted, you know, correctly. He made a lot of tough decisions with respect to ending the war in Europe and ending the war in the Pacific especially. And then I think he turned out to be a very good president overall, particularly in creating a lot of the foreign policy machine that really pretty much went on until the collapse of the Soviet Union. So we remember today, 1945, the passing of President Roosevelt and the arrival of a new president, Harry Truman. We're going to take a little break and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. We're doing the first of our history shows. We're going to try to do this every weekend, you know, looking back at events that happened the week and, you know, the week in question. And, you know, we're going to go back and try to remember them. We just finished looking back at April 12th, 1945, the morning that the country or the afternoon that the country learned that President Roosevelt had died in Georgia. He was resting down there, I guess. And Harry Truman becomes the president of the United States, and not many people knew who Truman was. And, you know, so Truman now has to make all the tough decisions that in front of him regarding the war and many other things. So, by the way, there's a great biography of Harry Truman, by President Truman, I should say, by a man named David McCullough. I would recommend that book to anybody. It's really fantastic. It's full of great stories, and it's just a great, you know, a great presidential biography. I would recommend it to to anybody. Well, let's talk about the other big event. This is more, I guess, of a generational thing. My generation relates to this. But on this day in 1970, Paul McCartney quit the Beatles. He simply said, I'm done with the Beatles and I'm not going to be a part of the group anymore. The fact that the group broke up was not, or broke up or split, was not really a shock. They had not really played together for some time. In fact, the Abbey Road studio sessions were pretty much the end of the Beatles. And that album was released in September of 1969. Some stuff came after that, but much of it was related to those Abbey Road sessions. So by the time, you know, the spring of 1970 came around, the Beatles, for all practical purposes, were not really a band anymore. They had sort of gone their separate ways in so many ways. Personally, John Lennon and Yoko Ono were sort of doing things on their own. John had actually released a couple of singles by himself, solo singles, Give Peace a Chance and Instant Karma, Cold Turkey. So he was all pretty much on his own already. Paul married Linda and then kind of went off into Scotland or something. And he and Linda had a couple of babies or whatever. And he was very much isolated from the band. George and Ringo, I'm not sure what they were doing, but nevertheless, they were not really recording together. And, you know, the group had pretty much come to an end as a unit. So by the time Paul said that he was quitting the Beatles, I don't think anybody was in a state of shock. But obviously, you know, even though everybody was kind of thinking that it could happen, it's still a shock when it does happen. And, everybody was talking about the end of the Beatles. They still, after Paul made that statement that he was quitting the Beatles, they still had a couple of singles that came out from the Let It Be album, the single Let It Be, which is different than the LP version, if you remember that. The 45 is completely different than the LP version. I actually like the single version better, but anyway, that single came out. That was number one. And then what turned out to be their very last release as the Beatles, The Long and Winding Road, came out in June and was number one in the summer of that year. But even that song was all controversial because Paul McCartney never liked the Phil Spector production that was part or was released as a single. And for a long time, you know, he tried to get the other version released, which eventually was released as part of an album called The Naked Let It Be. And that's actually a very good version, the one on The Naked Let It Be. I like that better, actually, than the one that actually came out. But anyway, so they were very much in conflict by the spring. So the breakup was not a shock, but nevertheless, it was consequential because the Beatles were the Beatles. They were the top musical act in the world. After they broke up, the Beatles, they went their separate ways. John had hits. George had hits. Ringo had hits. Paul had hits. But by the mid-70s, the only one that you were listening to or hearing at American radio was Paul McCartney. John Lennon had some hits, and then he kind of went into his own isolation for several years. Didn't really come back until he released that album, Double Fantasy, and then unfortunately he was killed a month later. George had a couple of hits, but then he faded real fast. Ringo the same. And really by the mid-70s, the only person you were hearing on the radio was Paul McCartney, because the other three Beatles were completely silent. And that's kind of the way it was for most of the 70s. But Paul had lots of success in the 70s as a solo and with that band Wings. But I tell you, on this day in history, when Paul McCartney said he was quitting the Beatles, that shook up the music business quite a bit, and it shook me up, even though I thought it was going to happen. But nevertheless, it's like you're expecting somebody to die, and then when they do, you're still in shock that they died. Well, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed our little history show, and we'll try to do another one next Saturday. Thank you very much. Good night, everybody.